Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Civil Wars, A Very Short Introduction by Monica Duffy Toft. Narrated by Kim Nemi. Publisher's note. In this audio edition, you will hear references to figures present in the print and ebook formats of the book. Introduction. The intricate and multifaceted relationship between humans and civil wars has profound implications for our comprehension of violence and its impact on modern society. Civil wars, by definition, occur within the borders of existing polities or states, but their repercussions often extend far beyond these boundaries. They have substantial humanitarian consequences, inflicting immense suffering. Additionally, civil wars often give rise to illicit networks involved in the trade of weapons, drugs, and even human beings. These conflicts raise profound ethical questions about the use of force and the protection of human rights within states, questions which continue to inform the development of international norms and laws governing warfare and military occupation. Furthermore, in our interconnected world, as civil wars cross national borders, escalate, and encourage foreign intervention, they have far-reaching consequences for global peace, justice, and prosperity. These interconnections, the variation in their causes, how they are fought, how they evolve, and how they end, therefore remain vital. At their core, civil wars reflect facets of human nature, encompassing human nobility and self-sacrifice, fear and insecurity, aggressiveness and greed. Knowledge of how these dimensions of human behavior is implicated in civil wars is crucial for recognizing their potential for violence, escalation, and repetition, which in turn enables the development of conflict prevention and mitigation strategies and effective policy implementation of those strategies. It is not just human psychology that underpins civil wars. The economic, social, and political contexts in which violence emerges are critical as well. Political decisions, leadership, and governance structures have a significant impact on the escalation or de-escalation of conflicts. Often it is acknowledgement of these factors that is vital for conflict management and peace promotion. Competition for scarce or finite resources, too, serves as a catalyst for violence and wars. Outlining the connection between resource scarcity and conflict is therefore essential for addressing these challenges and ensuring sustainable resource management. Disparities in wealth and power frequently lead to societal unrest and violence. Acknowledging these inequalities is fundamental to fostering social justice and equitable systems that reduce the potential for conflicts. Finally, the way previous conflicts are remembered, so often subject to manipulation for political, economic, or social purposes, dramatically affects how affected populations come to see the stakes involved in any conflict. So, it is encouraging to know that although every civil war is unique, when we look at the known history of civil wars, we see patterns. States susceptible to civil wars share several characteristics and factors. While no single type of state is universally prone to civil war, specific conditions and state attributes can increase the likelihood of civil conflict. These include 1. Precedent. States with a history of unresolved conflicts or a legacy of previous civil wars may be more susceptible to renewed violence, especially if underlying grievances persist. 2. Fragile institutions. States with weak governance, limited capacity to provide public services, and a lack of control over their territory are often more susceptible to civil war. Weak states may struggle to enforce the rule of law or maintain order. 3. Divisions and grievances. States with significant divisions and hostility between political and ideological factions may be more vulnerable to civil conflict, particularly when these divisions are associated with historical grievances or discrimination. Such polarization may erode trust among groups in society and in their institutions. 4. political repression. States that suppress political dissent and deny civil liberties may face greater risks of civil conflict. Such regimes can create an environment where grievances fester and opposition becomes radicalized against the state. 5. Political exclusion and identity politics. States with political systems that exclude some groups from decision-making processes or hinder their political representation can see these groups turn to violence to assert their rights. Nationalism and identity politics might be ripe for manipulation by elites, furthering divisiveness and radicalization. 6. Corruption. Corrupt states that undermine trust in government institutions increase the potential for civil unrest, as citizens become inclined to protest or rebel against the regime's corruption. 7. Economic inequality. States with high levels of economic inequality or unequal access to key resources, including potable water, arable land, or energy, can lead to social discontent and unrest, potentially escalating to civil war. 8. Bad location. States located in dangerous neighborhoods or bordering other states with tumultuous politics are more prone to escalation to civil war. Geopolitical interests may exacerbate instability, or neighboring countries or external actors might insert themselves into a state's internal affairs, escalating tensions and contributing to civil war. Important to note is that these factors often interact and overlap, and the presence of these risk factors does not guarantee that a state will experience civil war. However, they do heighten the potential for political instability and violence. Furthermore, even stable democratic states are not immune to the risk of civil war. While democracies are generally characterized by their commitment to the rule of law, inclusive political systems, and respect for individual rights, several factors can make them susceptible to internal conflict. The path to susceptibility in such states may differ from that in fragile states, but the risk remains. Consider these factors. 1. Prior history of conflict and war. Deep-rooted historical tensions, grievances, or unresolved conflicts can resurface and escalate, especially if there is a lack of reconciliation or acknowledgement of past injustices. Even in democracies, there may be inadequate conflict resolution mechanisms, such as judicial processes or mediation, making it challenging to address disputes peacefully. 2. Weakening institutions. In mature states, a gradual erosion of trust in institutions or weakening of governance can undermine political stability. If state institutions fail to adapt to new challenges or address the evolving needs of the population, it can lead to civil unrest. In some democracies, weak governance, corruption, or ineffective institutions can undermine state legitimacy and its ability to address citizens' concerns. A sense of government ineffectiveness can lead to protests or civil unrest. 3. Ethnic, sectarian, and cultural divisions. Over time, ethnic, sectarian, or cultural divisions within a stable democratic state can become more pronounced, especially if a minority group grows at a faster rate than a majority group. These divisions can evolve into grievances or conflicts if they are not properly addressed, potentially leading to ethnic or identity-based violence. Changes in leadership and demographics within mature states can influence this susceptibility. A younger generation representing the identity group emerges with different expectations and sets of grievances, challenging the political status quo and potentially fueling civil unrest. 4. Rejection of majority rule and radicalization. The emergence of radical or extremist movements within these states can pose a significant risk. Such movements may exploit grievances or identity politics to mobilize followers and incite violence. Democracies can face threats from dissatisfied groups that reject the democratic system and use violence to advance their agendas. These groups may be difficult to contain and could incite broader conflict. 5. Political polarization. Long-standing political stability can erode if political polarization emerges and deepens. In mature democracies, intense partisan divisions and a loss of faith in the political system can escalate tensions and create an environment where conflict becomes a real possibility. Gridlock, distrust, and the delegitimization of opponents arise, and in such cases, nonviolent conflict resolution processes, a tradition of debate and compromise, begin to wither, pushing factions toward conflict as they seek to secure their interests and beliefs without compromise. The rise of nationalist or populist movements can stoke divisions within democratic societies, emphasizing us-versus-them narratives that can escalate into civil conflicts when critics of incumbent policies are rebranded as enemies of the state, and an elite emerges claiming that they alone can solve the ills of the country. 6. Economic disparities and shocks. High levels of economic inequality can undermine the stability of democratic states. When a significant portion of the population perceives its economic prospects as bleak or worsening, it may resort to protests or even violence as a means of redress. Even in these states, severe economic downturns, such as a financial crisis or recession, can lead to widespread economic hardship and inequality. Competition for finite resources, especially in regions prone to environmental or climatic challenges, can exacerbate societal tensions. The resulting social discontent can create fertile ground for civil unrest and conflict, even in countries with a history of stability. 7. External factors. External influences such as regional instability or geopolitical maneuvering can impact the stability of a stable democratic state. Proxy conflicts and the involvement of external actors can exacerbate internal tensions and increase the risk of civil conflict. External actors, including neighboring countries, may exploit political, ethnic, or religious divisions within a democratic state to further their own interests. This external meddling can contribute to internal instability and potentially larger-scale violence and civil war. 8. Social media accelerated mis- and disinformation. In the digital age, the rapid spread of misinformation and disinformation on social media can exacerbate existing divisions, fuel mistrust, and incite violence. It can create the false impression that a fringe idea with very few adherents is in fact a mass movement worthy of inclusion in political, economic, or social policy discussions. Although information flow and spread is not new, the intensity and speed of it may undermine the politics of even the most stable democratic states. The transition from a stable democratic state to susceptibility to civil war is rarely a linear process. It can result from a combination of factors that weaken the state's stability and social cohesion. Furthermore, unlike more traditional wars, the causes of civil wars and differences in the way they are fought and end are often long-term, indirect, and intangible. In terms of complexity, consider that there are only 193 member states in the United Nations, making over 18,000 possible conflict dyads. By contrast, there are over 10,000 nations bound by these states. So if we only look at civil wars in which nationality is a factor, that number of potential conflict dyads expands to tens of millions. And so many civil wars, such as the long fight between Irish Protestants and Irish Catholics in Northern Ireland, engage multiple cross-cutting issues beyond nationality, such as religious faith, social class, and claims to homeland territory. Civil wars are much more likely than interstate wars to involve insurgents that do not wear uniforms or follow a single authority, and given that many tend to last a long time, allegiances and grievances often change and shift. This complexity and non-linearity underscore the importance of continuous efforts to address discontent, promote inclusive governance, and adapt to evolving challenges to maintain long-term stability. Recognizing these potential risk factors and working to mitigate them is crucial for preventing the onset of civil conflict in even the most stable states. This very short introduction to the factors influencing civil wars and their impact on various types of states highlights the relevance and value of this knowledge for a broad audience. It is essential for the general public, academics, policymakers, humanitarian workers, journalists, and business leaders alike. This book fosters global awareness of critical factors, empathy for those suffering from destructiveness and displacement of these wars, and a sense of responsibility for issues related to that violence and humanitarian crises. For scholars and students of history, political science, international relations, or conflict studies, this book offers a more holistic sense of the complexities surrounding civil wars. Policymakers and diplomats can learn about the causes and consequences of civil wars and consider how this knowledge might shape their approach to national and international policies. Professionals working in conflict zones or with displaced populations can benefit from insights into the origins and endings of civil wars and the challenges faced by civilians because of them, potentially aiding their efforts to provide more contextualized and therefore more effective aid and support to affected communities. Individuals and organizations involved in peacebuilding and conflict mediation can draw from the lessons and experiences documented within these chapters to inform their strategies and interventions. Those engaged in human rights advocacy, peace movements, and international development can use the insights from the scholarship featured here to bolster their arguments and campaigns, driving awareness and change. Journalists covering conflict zones can enhance their reporting by deepening their knowledge of the underlying causes and context of civil wars, leading to better informed news coverage. Finally, business leaders operating in regions affected by civil wars can benefit from awareness of the security, political, and economic factors at play, which is essential for making informed business decisions and managing risks. While this book is concise and therefore cannot be comprehensive, it nevertheless provides historical context, critical insights, and an appreciation of the complex nature of civil wars, hopefully contributing to informed decision-making, reduced human suffering, and a more peaceful and stable world. Chapter 1. A Short History of Civil Wars and Why Civil Wars Matter. Civil wars are nasty, brutish, and on average, far from short. They tend to last for years and display a destructive tendency to escalate and to expand geographically. The modern state of Sudan, for example, had known only 13 years of peace since it gained independence in 1955 until 2005. Afghanistan has been riven by armed conflict almost continuously since 1978. And what began as a civil war in the Democratic Republic of Congo has been called Africa's first world war because its vortex of violence drew in so many of its neighbors. What we know of civil wars and how we know it has changed a great deal over the past century. Prior to the Second World War, the study of civil wars was given over to historians, and in the social sciences to those studying comparative politics. The study of civil wars was often accompanied by years of fieldwork, interviews, archival research, and the study of foreign languages. Civil wars are, in general, much more complex than interstate wars. There are many more political actors. Nations, for example, number in the tens of thousands globally, whereas there are fewer than 200 recognized states, and the motives for mobilization and escalation tend to be unique to each conflict. This lent inquiry into interstate and nuclear warfare, both marked by a tendency to concentrate destruction into fewer years as compared to civil and ethnic conflicts, an air of superiority. This is especially evident since the publication of Kenneth N. Waltz's Theory of International Politics, 1979, which compelled international relations scholars to emulate the natural sciences in creating general theories. Since the end of the Cold War, when the number of civil wars seemed to be on the rise, they were not, the study of civil wars has shifted to those who pursue international relations and its variants as subfields of political inquiry. The number of scholars who undertake fieldwork or struggle to master foreign languages has dropped as compared with those whose work relies on sophisticated statistical analyses or formal models. Again, in a global North context, this mechanization of inquiry appeared to offer a more objective and more scientific appreciation of the causes, nature, and termination of civil wars. The arid quality of mechanized inquiry also led, arguably, to mitigation strategies and policies that proved unworkable or counterproductive. These tended, unsurprisingly, to be based on things that could be counted and compared, such as corpses, lootable resources such as gold, oil, or diamonds, and so on. What remains lamentable about the shift is not that mechanized inquiry yields little of value to our knowledge of civil wars, but that its value remains dependent on an older and more intimate knowledge of human geography, of identity, and the many ways humans bring meaning to objects. Civil wars in history. There is no space in a very short introduction for anything approaching a full listing or summary of early civil wars. So I have selected from those most representative, as best we can tell, of civil wars as we know them today. Across the sweep of history from ancient civilizations to the complexities of modern geopolitics, civil wars have played a defining, if at times underestimated, role. These conflicts are characterized by their destructive impact and relentless, often indiscriminate, violence, as well as enduring scars and remembered grievances. Civil wars in antiquity still hold powerful lessons for us today, but as always with history, we must remember that how we approach an historical event is bound to be as much about what we bring with us to the facts as any supposedly objective fact itself. Anachronism, in other words, remains a persistent threat to knowledge. Perhaps the most important difference between how we view armed conflict today and how it has been viewed in many places in the world and in many times is the idea of the non-combatant. From the Middle Ages to the present, we can say with greater confidence that every human society recognized a category of human community that was off-limits to intentional injury, e.g., women and children. But before that, the record becomes more fraught. With these cautions in mind, one might argue that the first recorded history of a civil war took place in ancient Mesopotamia, around the 21st century BCE. The Ur dynasty, also known as the Third Dynasty of Ur, ruled in the region of Sumer, which lies in contemporary Iraq. Once considered the most powerful and prosperous in Mesopotamian history, the Ur dynasty eventually collapsed. Among the factors we can identify today that led to its collapse is internal dissent, as different factions descended from its ruling class began to struggle for control over the capital city of Ur and its rich adjoining territories. As the center weakened, the broader region fell prey to foreign invaders, leading to a period of political fragmentation as competing city-states and dynasties fought for power and control. Internal disputes rising to the level of civil war also followed the death of Alexander the Great in 323 BCE. Alexander's empire stretched from Greece to India. Under his rule, imperial lands were divided among his top generals, known as diadochi, or successors. These generals had been appointed by Alexander as regional rulers, and after his death they fell into dispute over the relative value of their regions as compared with their peers. The escalation of these disputes into the Wars of the Diadochi resulted in overlapping military campaigns, the formation then breaking of alliances, and treachery and intrigue. Although not a textbook case of civil war because Alexander's empire was not a state, the nature of the empire's disintegration and descent into inter-regional violence parallels the all-too-familiar pattern of civil war as we know it today. Turning to East Asia, we can identify many of these same patterns and motivations in China's Three Kingdoms period, 184 to 208 CE, following the fragmentation of the Han Dynasty, 420 to 589 CE, into three competing kingdoms, Wei, Shi, and Wu. Later reunified during the Jin Dynasty of 420 to 589 CE, that dynasty would itself disintegrate into warring dynasties that achieved brief periods of consolidation before again being torn into constituent and warring parts. This process, resembling in every way but not exactly matching the pattern of a contemporary civil war, did not end until 1913, when the fall of the Qing dynasty led to the establishment of the Republic of China. The Republic of China was itself soon overwhelmed by civil war, this time between Chinese communists and nationalists. That civil war only ended in 1949 with the formation of the People's Republic of China and the flight of the nationalists to Formosa, now Taiwan. Other records of civil war, or their close analogs, can be recovered in the Old and New Testaments of the Bible. These biblical accounts illustrate internal strife and political division rising to the level of violence. Because these texts are not considered to be literal descriptions of historical events so much as allegories based on historical events, we need to approach them with caution. That said, many of these biblical allegories contain descriptions of strife and violence we would today recognize as civil war. In the books of Judges and the prophetic writings, for example, there are many accounts of rebellions leading to internal conflict among the Israelites and their leaders. The rebellion of Absalom, circa 1000 to 970 BCE, referred to in 2 Samuel chapters 15 through 18, tells of a conflict that emerged after King David's son Absalom rebelled against his father, throwing the kingdom of Israel into violent conflict. Absalom was later killed in the forest of Ephraim. Likewise, King Solomon's reign, as recounted in 1 Kings verse 12, suffered familial strife when his son Rehoboam faced a rebellion led by Jeroboam, who, around 930 BCE, sought to create a northern kingdom of Israel. That rebellion ended with the kingdom divided into a northern kingdom of Israel and a southern kingdom of Judah, each with its own ruler. Just as in the Judeo-Christian texts, Muslim religious texts also contain records of internecine violence we would today recognize as civil war. Such narratives are mainly found in the Hadiths, or sayings of the Prophet, which along with the Quran form the core of Islamic religious practice. Among the most significant conflicts recounted in the Hadiths is the Battle of Badr, 624 CE, which pits a Muslim community in Medina against the Quraysh tribe of Mecca. Other important battles between Muslims and the Quraysh included the Battle of Ehud, 625 CE, the Battle of the Trench, Ghazwat al-Khandaq, 627 CE, in which a coalition of Arab tribes besieged Medina, and the conquest of Mecca, 630 CE, which was seen as a pivotal event in early Islamic history. Keeping in mind that scholars of civil war rely on the idea of a state within which wars engage rival groups, and the state, as we know it today, did not exist in the 7th century, what we take from these battles is their similarities to contemporary civil wars. For example, not only was the conquest of Mecca taken to symbolize the triumph of Islam and God's favor, but it fulfilled prophetic promises, promoted forgiveness and reconciliation, and consolidated religious
sample complete. Ready to continue?